Psalm 20. For the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call.
Well, thanks, Karen. Please leave your Bibles open there at Psalm 20. We're also going to look at the first half of Psalm 21. Psalm 20 is the call for help, and Psalm 21 is the answer to that call. Well, let's pray that God would help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great gift it is. Father, thank you that's a lamp to guide our feet. Father, please help us to understand your word now. Please, by your word, help us to see clearly. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, this arvo, I don't want to be too negative, but the reality is we're heading into a new year. And some of the battles of 2019, some of the battles you've had maybe for years now, some of the battles you maybe had from birth, well, they're still going to be with you as you head into this year. And 2020 is going to bring its own new battles. As the holiday season wraps up for another year, what's troubling your mind right now as we sit here in church? What about the year ahead is causing you anxiety? Maybe it's facing another year without a loved one. Maybe it's your physical health. Maybe it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Maybe you're really worried about your children. Maybe they've decided to not follow Jesus. Or maybe you can't have children or you haven't had them yet. Maybe you have financial troubles. Maybe you have a sin that just keeps plaguing you. No matter what you do, you can't seem to shake it. Maybe it's your mental health. The thought of facing another year of keeping up the fight, maybe it just feels overwhelming. Maybe you're dreading going back to school or back to uni or back to work. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in. Maybe you're bullied. Maybe you've got other troubles. Friends, whatever it is that's keeping you awake at night at the moment, Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 help us to know that we can call out to God and that he will ultimately deliver us in his anointed King Jesus. It would be great if you had Psalm 20 in front of you. Now, Psalm 20 is written by David. It appears he's just about to go into war as God's anointed king. And the army, or the general people, they're most likely at the temple and they're singing this psalm. Maybe they sing this psalm every time they go into battle. And they're crying out to God to deliver their king, which is really a cry that God would deliver them. If the king wins the battle, they win. If the king loses, they lose. These people are in distress, and so they call out to the Lord. We'll have a look at Psalm 20, verses 1 to 4 with me. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Now, just as a side note, the word Selah, no one really knows what it means. Maybe it's a musical term. Maybe it's a point in the psalm where you're meant to stop and reflect on what's being said and then move on, but no one really knows what it means. Side note. The people are crying out to God, the God of Jacob, the God of the promises, They're crying out to God to look out, to care for their king, to answer their king when he calls out for help, to protect him. In verse 2, the people want God to send help from Zion, from the sanctuary, from the temple. The temple is symbolically where God dwelt amongst his people. The people want God's help in this battle. And in verse 3, they want God to remember that this king is acting as he should. He's offered sacrifices. He's been following the commands. There's no need to punish the king or the people. There's no outstanding sin. And in verse 4, the people want the king, they want his desires to come true. Now, they're not talking about all of his plans and all of his desires. It's with special reference to the battle. In this upcoming battle, the people want the king to have success because it means success for them. This nation is about to go into war, and the people want God to give their king victory because ultimately that means victory for them. And you can imagine it's a distressing time. And to be honest, I don't think it's really that easy for us to get our heads around what it would be like for them. Many of us have never been in a situation like that before. Maybe some of our current or retired soldiers have. But going into battle, that's not something that we really experience. And it must be really distressing. One of my favourite war movies, is a movie called Saving Private Ryan. I'm sure that many of you have seen it. It's a pretty full-on movie. It was one of the first movies to show the real horror of war. And you get a feel for the distress that war causes as you see the guys in the boat heading towards the beach, about to storm the beach. The captain, Tom Hanks, he's shaking as he opens up his water bottle. Other people are doing other things. They all look terrified. It's about to get very real for them. And when the sort of door drops when they hit the beach, well, it's pretty horrific. It must be terrible knowing that you or a loved one or your king is about to go into war, into battle, and there's a real threat that they may not return home. Well, friends, as you face the battle of 2020, as you deal with your individual battles head on, it can feel a bit overwhelming. It can actually make you feel physically sick. But friends, just like the people in the psalm who called out to God, that's the best place for us to call out to as well. As you gear up for the year ahead, the best place to put your trust and hope is in the Lord, because through his anointed king, he can deliver you. Well, have a look at verses 6 and 7 with me. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now in verse 6, there's a change in the person talking. It's not we anymore, it's not the army or the people, it's I. It's the king or the priest. And somehow this person, the king or the priest, knows for sure that the Lord will save his anointed. He will answer him when he calls. Now, we're not sure how this person knows so certainly. Maybe God told him. Or maybe this person just knows who God is. He knows God's character. And so he is sure that God will deliver his king. And the people pipe up again in verse 7. So it's back to the people speaking. And they say, some trust in chariots and horses, but they will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, it's not saying they won't use weapons of war in the battle. They will, but they just won't trust in them. They will place their trust in the name of the Lord. And by saying they'll trust in the name of the Lord, they're actually saying something really significant that might get lost on us. They're saying they're going to trust in Yahweh, the Lord. They're going to trust in a God who rescued his people with mighty acts from Egypt. See, the name the Lord, Yahweh, was given to Moses as a guarantee that God was with him. Moses asked God for his name and God gave it to him. He said, my name is I am who I am. I will be who I will be. That gets shortened down into Yahweh. In your Bibles, it appears as the Lord in capitals. See, God is saying to Moses, I will show you and the Egyptians and my people and all the world who I am as I rescue my people out of Egypt. God has a track record of rescuing his people. And so as the people go into this dark and distressing time, as they're in anguish over the upcoming battle, they will trust in the name of the Lord. And that's a good place to trust. A little while ago, I had surgery. It was surgery to ensure that my family doesn't get any bigger. You can work out what that is. And when I went into day surgery, I was feeling anxious. I'd never had an operation before. As I sat down with the nurse to go over the paperwork one last time, I noticed a mistake. They had the wrong procedure written down in the paperwork. And when I pointed out to the nurse, she actually swore out loud, which didn't give me much confidence that things were going to be okay. And as I got ready for surgery, my blood pressure was through the roof because I was freaking out a bit. I was thinking, what are you guys going to do to me? And I made sure that the anaesthetist person, as I spoke to him, I said, you need to watch my back. You need to make sure that this goes down as it's meant to, right? And he was like, yeah, I've got your back. I was like, you better. But then, I don't know if this is standard procedure. Some people here will be able to sort of confirm this. But I don't know if it's standard procedure that when you, just before you're about to get knocked out, before they just do the last little bit of drugs, they ask you what you're in for. And I said to them, there's no way I'm telling you what I'm here for. You tell me what I'm here for. You make sure you get it right. And they just laughed and knocked me out. So hopefully it was successful. They didn't give me much confidence, right? They didn't give me much confidence. I had no track record to trust them. It was terrible. And after I'd sort of woken up and had my sandwich, they called Deb to come and pick me up. And they said, Simone, not even joking, Simone is ready to be picked up. And they weren't... They weren't like going, oh, this is funny. They're like, no, Simone. And it's like, Deb's like, no, it's Simon. Hopefully, it's still Simon. Anyway, it was a terrible event. It was a terrible event. I had no reason to trust them at all. Don't go back. I'm not going to tell you the surgeon or anything like that, but be careful as you go into that sort of thing. But the people in the psalm have every reason to trust the Lord, because he's shown them who he was by rescuing their forefathers with mighty acts from Egypt. The Lord is capable and reliable. And so the people are going to trust in the Lord, and he will deliver their king. Friends, because of who God is, we too can be confident that God will deliver us. Now, the way he delivers us in the here and now, it might not exactly be what we're hoping for, but the forever deliverance will be beyond anything we can imagine. There'll be no more battles to face forever and ever and ever. And that's a heartwarming thought, isn't it? Friends, don't put your trust in the stuff of this world. Trust in the one who made this world. Trust in the Lord. It was right for the people to trust the Lord, and it's right for us to trust the Lord, because the Lord has delivered his king. Well, friends, have a look with me at Psalm 21, verses 1 to 4. Now, remember that Psalm 21 is the answer to Psalm 20. Psalm 21, verses 1 to 4. O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. The Lord heard the call from the king and from the people, and the Lord has given victory to the king. He's granted him the desire of his heart for victory in the battle. And the Lord upholds this king. The Lord has given this king life, length of days forever and ever. The Lord has given him victory, and the king trusts in the Lord, and the Lord will continue to uphold this king. We'll have a look at verse 7 with me. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. The king trusts in the Lord, and the Lord will look after him. The Lord will make sure that he remains king through his unfailing love. Now, the Hebrew word, but behind the English words, unfailing love, is the word chesed. And it speaks of God's faithfulness to his promises. It speaks of his promise-keeping love. God will keep his promises to his king, and God will keep his promises to his people. This king has been delivered, And if you read the rest of Psalm 21, the king is given ultimate victory over his enemies. But the problem is, the words spoken in Psalm 21, they fit King David only sort of. David is a great king, but he doesn't rule forever. He dies and his son takes over, and he's a good king for a little while, and then he's dodging and he dies. There's no forever king that lives forever. See, Psalm 21, like all the Psalms, is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. He's the one that God ultimately delivers forever. He's the one that goes into battle against our biggest enemies, our enemies of sin and death and the devil. And he dies on the cross to defeat those enemies, but God gives him victory in the battle. God raises him to life to show that sin and death and the devil have been defeated. God's ultimate king has defeated our ultimate enemies by dying and rising again. God gives King Jesus victory. And just like the people in the psalm, what happens to the king, it affects us as well. Because Jesus has been given ultimate victory, we too, if we believe in him, can have ultimate victory. And it's a cause for celebration. The king rejoices in the victory that the Lord gives him. And if we believe in Jesus, we should celebrate too. Well, this last week I've been watching the news a lot. It's sort of hard not to. I've been watching the bushfires and the chaos and destruction that they've been bringing. It's pretty full on. One of the places I've been paying particular attention to is Mallacoota. That's the isolated coastal town in Victoria, just below the border. It's where the Navy went in and rescued all those people. But the fires on New Year's Eve and into New Year's Day, they were pretty full on. And the people were down at the boat ramp, they were hugging the shore. And they were told that if a siren sounds, all of you need to get into the water. That would have been a pretty scary situation to be in. And the fires were coming closer and closer, and they could hear all their gas bottles exploding in their houses as it came closer. But then all of a sudden, there was a change in the wind direction, and things were safe for them for a little while. And apparently when they found out things were safe, you could hear the people on the boat ramp, the people on the shore, you know, shouting out, "Enjoy, yes, we've been delivered, we've been rescued." Now, the fires are far from over, but at that moment, the people in Mallacoota had been delivered in the battle and they were rejoicing. That was wonderful news. Friends, God has delivered his king. Ultimately, he's delivered King Jesus, which means that ultimately he can deliver you. And so, friends, even though things are going to be hard as we go into 2020 and face our battles, there is still reason to rejoice. We can still celebrate in Jesus' victory because we have a great hope of being with Jesus and God in perfection forever. Whatever your battles might be, whether it's physical health or whether it's mental health, whether it's sin, whether it's family issues, financial troubles, whatever your battle is, God can deliver you through his King, through Jesus. Now, to understand how God delivers us, we need to see as God sees, not as humans see. See, because Jesus defeated sin and death and the devil, he can give us life forever, peace with God in perfection forever. And when we can see that clearly, that helps us to see our current battles in context. It's not saying that life won't be hard, but saying knowing where it all ends up in perfection with God forever, well, that will help us. That will help us to face the year ahead. It'll help us to face our battles with confidence. Knowing we have peace with God and one day we'll be with him in perfection forever, well, that will help us in the battles. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't seek help from professionals with your battles. See a financial planner, go see your doctor, see a psychologist, see a counsellor, see whoever you need to see, but know that it's only the Lord who can ultimately deliver you. Friends, whatever your battle is, call out to the Lord and he will give you peace. Have a listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. It's on the screen. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, whatever is troubling you right now, bring it before the Lord. Lay your soul bare before him, and somehow he will give you peace. Now, I think verse 7 is saying God will help you to see clearly in the battle. He'll help you to know of your eternal future, of the peace with God you'll have forever. He'll help you to know of the peace with God you have right now. And that now and that forever peace, it will somehow guard your hearts and minds so that you keep trusting in Jesus no matter what comes your way, no matter how dark it gets in the battle. Friends, whatever your battle is this year, call out to the Lord and he will give you peace because he's already delivered you in his son Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your son Jesus. Thank you that he died and rose again. Thank you that he defeated sin and death and the devil. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to trust in him. Father, when we're anxious, when life is hard, help us to call out to you. Help us to lay our soul bare before you. And Father, please give us the peace you promised to give us. Help us to see clearly. Father, help us to long to be with you forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to God's word by singing. This song reminds us that Jesus has died to pay for sin, and it reminds us that God is helping us. He is calling us home. So please stand and please sing.